Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm Sarah McDilley. I'm here with Rob O'Hearn, and we are both so excited to be sitting across from Maeve O'Mara. Maeve, tell us about your new book.
So this is the culmination of the last three Food Safari series that we've done, Earth, Fire and Water. So we thought, having done so many different cuisines, time to look at the world of cuisines on our doorstep through a different prism. So fire was just absolutely fantastic. We love filming that. That was a separate book. And then earth seemed to be like the next beautiful thing. And then water, which is on at the moment. So there's so many recipes from so many different cuisines on our doorstep. Like in this book is a beautiful woman from Zimbabwe who shares her recipe, a woman from Senegal, my friend from Korea, and Turkish home cooks. There's both professional chefs and home cooks, and it just celebrates food now and real food, delicious food that people want to make.
It's a stunning book.
Stunning.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Over 200 recipes.
Over 200 recipes.
So
yeah.
There's over 200
different
contributors.
There are. Look at this crazy guy. With his bear claws about to...
Oh, my God.
So he's got pulled pork there that he's slowly roasted, and then this will sort of be shredded up and eaten and enjoyed. Lots of fire grilling of vegetables, you know, and from this there are so many cuisines. So this is Vietnamese. This is Cuban. This is my friend Rodney down in Tasmania roasting a whole pumpkin in the embers. So just delicious, interesting, and it's a readable book too. I love, like, they're the books that I love. So I guess that's what you do at the end of the day, something that sort of resonates and has texture and has just beautiful people in it. And I guess, yeah, we do want to make you hungry, but we also want to hold your hand. So there's a lot that helps you along the way, and I think Food Safari as a TV show has always done that, to show you ingredients, to show you techniques. But then to have it in a book is just, it's
really
next level, I think. So here's my friend Kate. So Kate was in my mother's group. So this is how I do my food tours. She and the other girls in the group, I took them to a Lebanese restaurant for dinner, and they said, this is great, you should do more of this. So I've been doing this for 20 years, but also writing books. And I love that when it came to filming something from the water and seafood, she's a Kiwi, so we've got whitebait fritters.
Oh, wow.
And it's a lovely recipe, and there was lots of family consultation on exactly how this she would present this, and I think they're very happy. But I love that that's in there, you know. So, full of special people and, and just deliciousness. And I have to say, it's a confession, but the books I cook from most are Food Safari, because I guess because I know the recipes, but also you do want to check them out here and there. There's so much inspiration here, and it is probably the best collection of multicultural Australian recipes, I think, to boot. I really think this is Australia, proud, delicious, multi-cuisine and doable for people who, like me, come from the white bread suburbs and always wanted to learn these things. So This is the book.
It's always telling if you pick up a book like I did earlier today with this book, and you go looking through and you go looking for the ingredients. Are they going to stump me with things I cannot possibly
exactly,
find?
Exactly, that you can't find. Oh, my God.
And the whole thing's going to do an adventure on how I'm going to find this particular ingredient. And then I'll find the rotten thing.
Yeah.
But this is not like that. It's got ingredients that I recognize, I know where to get them from, and if I can't get them, there's substitutions recommended.
So exactly.
Oh, wow.
It's great.
That's
yeah,
so cool.
Yeah.
And a lot of really good tips in there from different people.
Thank you.
The stuff about etiquette on sushi was new to me.
What was the etiquette? Oh, you have to have it in one bite.
Yeah.
You have to have it in one bite, and don't use the ginger with it, and Don't dip it, but also turn it upside down.
Yes.
God.
Wait a minute. Don't use the ginger and don't dip it.
Don't dip the ginger with the sushi. Yeah. You use it as a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
So I've been doing it totally wrong. Yes.
Oh. Well, look, you know, there's probably Japanese people going, here she comes again.
It's good to know.
But you know what? Australia is so ripe for learning. You know, we want to know. We want to know how to do it right.
Yeah.
But, you know, is it terrible at the end of the day if you plonk your ginger sliver on top of your sushi? No, you're going to love it anyway. But it's good to know. And, oh, there was one thing I learned years ago, not in this book, but bulgogi that you have in the lettuce leaf with all the additions, and then you wrap it up, the marinated beef, Korean beef, you have to have that in one bite. Oh. It's rude to bite into it. And, you know, the parcels are usually big. And this was taught to me by a very elegant lady sitting and then munching and couldn't talk for 2 minutes.
Wow.
Who knew?
How do you find the places? Like, how do you decide where to go? Is it just a matter of going to as many places as possible until you strike the gold?
No, look, a lot of these people I've known for a long time. So Angie Hong is just one of the great Vietnamese pioneers of restaurants in Sydney, and I've known her for 20 years. These hands belong to Faisal El Abed, who his falafel are really, really good. I've known him for a long time. So there's sort of that what I already know and people that I love and I know that are going to be good. But also there was very dedicated small TV team finding a Senegalese woman in Melbourne who did a beautiful rice and fish dish that's the national dish of Senegal. Delicious. Never knew. And there she was in her home. She's absolutely gorgeous. I don't know if you add cutaways to your podcast or whether I can find her. Oh, and I look at these and I'm going to get lost looking through the book. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I'll show you her because she's, oh my God. Sorry, someone else entirely. So this is Jorge. Jorge Chacon is a chef from Peru. This is his seafood stew called parihuela.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. It's also meant to cure hangovers, and I can attest to it because the day we filmed, I'd been to a school reunion the night before, and, my God, it was fantastic. Anyway, but this dish, as you say, all the ingredients you can find relatively easily. There's one in it called ají chili, which is a yellow chili, but you can find that online or, you know, find the right store. If you want to, you can find it, but... oh, look, every page has a story.
Podcast listeners, just so that you know, you have to get the book just to see that. <I'm sorry>. Do not miss out.
And the recipes are all authentic, so it's not like they're changed to make it accessibly.
No, they are all authentic.
So,
but as you say, there are substitutions given just to help, you know, people along the way. But if you can find the real thing, then it's a great thing.
Fantastic. Yeah. So what's the process? Do you go to these people, your friends, and say, okay, bring me your number one signature, your top-ranked
pressure.
This was a television show, so it's come out of the television show. So everybody in the book has been seen on television, so it's collecting those recipes that they've done already. So there's been quite a sifting process first. For the book, though, I sat down with publisher Pam Brewster from Hardy Grant, and we worked out what would be the best summation of television. So that was an interesting process too. What would look fantastic on the page, what we could group together, like all those vegetable recipes cooked over fire.
Yeah.
You know, there were ways of just finding pathways and making for a beautiful book that you want to sort of both read and cook from, because, you know, I think that's sort of one of the great joys. Oh my God, tandoori roasted lamb cutlets,
that is out of this world.
I should stop opening this book.
I think it's one of those ones though, once you start flipping through you can't help yourself.
I'm intrigued about how you got into this whole thing.
Yes.
But in particular, it's about connecting people with the food. It's not one or the other. It's not just about the food.
No.
And it's not just about the people.
No.
It's getting people to be aware of these other people.
Look, right place, right time. So I joined SBS in 1990. I'm a journalist and I came to work on the Dateline program. And I remember in the tea room in the mornings, people would talk about where they'd eaten the night before, what mum had cooked. And so the food culture at SBS was strong and I found my people. And I thought, oh, you know, what a great idea to do a guidebook. And these were the early SBS eating guides.
Which I remember selling.
Yeah.
I've still got some.
Which were, you know, a tremendous way to go out and eat well and find some ingredients. And then Food Lover's Guide, 5 series of TV for SBS came from that. And then Food Safari came in a different way. My partner, Tufik, who's an editor at SBS, who's Lebanese, came out to my punch bowl walking tour, started by the mothers group. they still haven't come, actually, on the actual tours. However, I was doing a walking tour of punch bowl, going through different ingredients, and Tufik thought there's, you know, the idea of being able to explain ingredients and then simple recipes that go with it. That was the start of Food Safari across, and then we chose different cuisines. Mm. Then the next lot have been the elements, and this was originally going to be called Food Safari Elements, but there were too many words on the page, so it's now Food Safari Earth, Fire, Water.
I like it.
Yeah. So tell us about the elements, the concept of how you originally decided to do a fire one and then...
Well, fire actually came from watching Christmas television and English chefs showing Christmas recipes and going, this is so not us.
Yes.
And thinking, you know, there should be something on fire, on barbecues, and then the idea of doing how the world's cuisines harness fire to cook food, from wood-fired ovens to street grills to hot plates to... I don't know, tandoors. I've got a tandoor in my back garden now. I love that. Looking at fire and how it's used across so many different cuisines, from quite simple to a lot more complex. And then that was so much fun to do. SBS said, let's do Earth. So, okay. So, well, I think we sort of thought, wouldn't it be good to do Earth and Water? So Earth is very much what grows through the season, so it was filmed through 4 different seasons and so many different cooks doing different things, herbs. You know, there's a whole herb omelette that is part of the Persian New Year. You know, it opened doors that perhaps wouldn't have been opened otherwise. And then water is everything from the water, fresh water, salt water, fish, crustaceans, sea vegetables. It is a whole different world, and it's changed the way I eat and live, I have to say.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
There's the thing I'm struck by, particularly in the water segment, is how the variety, the sheer scale of different flavours.
That's right, yeah. Well, one of the great seafood chefs said, you know, meat and chicken are one-dimensional. Seafood, there's so much variety. But you're right, there is. You know, there's so many things that you can cook or not cook.
Yes.
And then so many different ways of using those beautiful products of the water. You know, Bataga, who comes up with this? You know, Bataga, here is the roe of a particular fish. Well, thousands of years ago in Sardinia and Sicily, this was what they did. But, you know, they would then dry the ink sacs and grate them, or have them as little slices of salty, delicious, compressed sea flavour. Delicious.
You do
Giovanni
wonder.
Bilou calls it the Parmesan of the sea. And makes that, and it is great. It makes a fantastic spaghetti that is just so delicious. Like it's like any great Italian recipe, you know, 4 ingredients basically. So, you know, there's so much to discover. And I guess what we've often done with Food Safari is we like to go into things that then become popular. So, you know, there's a few discoveries here that the rest of the world is yet to find. And that's so joyous because, you know, people have known about them amongst particular cuisines for a long time. It's just bringing them to the fore in Australia. And Australia, thank God, is hungry for
new flavours,
yeah. But authentic flavours, I think.
Yeah.
So if you had to place a bet on the next thing that
don't ask me that. I hate talking about it. Look, I do. I think people eating from the earth and going and eating more vegetables without being vegetarian, the meatless, all that, eating pulses and really finding deliciousness in some of the ancient dishes. Mm. I think that's coming to the fore. People are concerned about sustainability with seafood, which is a great thing, but I think when you find sustainable seafood that you love and learn how to cook it well, like for me, just learning how to cook fish well and cooking it under what I would have done before. And one of the tricks with a fillet is really just to put a couple of plates on top.
Oh, really?
As you're cooking, so it connects with the pan. Yeah, so you get a fillet, ghee, a good heavy base pan, dust the fillet on the skin side with rice flour, heat the ghee, put it down, a couple of bread and butter plates on top. Then you sort of make sure you see the protein at the sides. You see it sort of go white, and that's a sign it's cooked. You feel on top, like we don't feel food enough, I don't think. So it's still lukewarm on top, so it's not hot at all. But once you get those telltale signs and the bubbles around the outside, time to turn it. And then our chef says count to four and take it off.
Four.
Because it's still cooking. So it's still cooking when it hits the plate. And that in a crisp cos lettuce with a squeeze of lemon and a sprinkle of salt is simple, delicious, and I'm so happy that I've discovered that because that's one of the things that I do regularly now. So there are pathways if you want to find them. In Earth, Fire, Water.
I'm so hungry listening to you talk about no. it. It's been too long since lunch.
There's so many, you must be very proud of some of the smaller, quieter cuisines that you've kind of discovered and brought forward because people can be really shy about these things. This is just our traditional cooking. You wouldn't be interested.
Yeah. I find them like new worlds. Like I've mentioned briefly, the Zimbabwean woman who's in our series and in our book, she cooks a dish from home using young pumpkin leaves. And we don't eat young pumpkin leaves yet, do we?
No.
They're delicious. Yeah. They're sort of sweet and spinachy, incredibly good for you. Like she went through a list of vitamins. She's got a health background. And she said when she first came to Australia, she'd spent time in England and came here and was walking around the neighbourhood that they'd moved to and saw pumpkin being grown and went, oh, I so want to make umbura. So she puts a pumpkin in because you can't buy pumpkin leaves in Australia, not yet. So she grows these pumpkins. You've got to learn how to just string the backs of the pumpkin leaves. There's a fine sort of, it's like a fine webbing, like a spider web, and you just peel it down, it's really easy. And then you cook it with a base of onion, garlic, maybe a little bit of tomato, and it is delicious with a peanut butter sauce that she makes, which is very, very yummy. It's so good. And she serves it with sudza, which is like their sort of polenta. It's their sort of mealy meal. You hear all that, you know, it's the staple carb from Zimbabwe. But the three of these together and seeing her pride, she looked magnificent too in beautiful Zimbabwean colours, and her picture in the book, she's just beaming. That is a great dish. It's probably not something everybody who gets the book is going to try, but it's something delicious and doable if you grow pumpkins or have a friend who grows pumpkins. Maybe pumpkin leaves are going to be in the shops in the future.
They were.
Yeah.
We were talking to Richard Glover the other day about life in the 60s and 70s in Australia, and at one point I was talking to him about working in Britain Veg in the 70s and how it was, yeah, we got two kinds of apples.
That's right.
Yeah. We got the red ones and the green ones.
Mm, and two types of potatoes. And
we've come a long way.
We have come a long way in a short time.
Yeah, and it's changing all the time. And it's great to see things like what you've done bring confidence to this process because... I've gone to street markets and stuff where there'd be people from Syria who are trying to cook things they think Australians will like.
Oh,
and behind them they've got this little tray of Syrian sweets, and you go, are you selling those?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? They're Syrian sweets. I want Syrian
sweets. Yes, we do. It's been interesting as well looking at what's been popular from the viewpoint of SBS, so they can track which recipes really boom. A lot of the fire ones have, and one of the key ones there is a pork belly I've just had a complete, my brain has just stopped, from Chile, which has a 5-ingredient marinade with paprika, garlic. There's nothing, nothing you need to go and find. It is absolutely delicious. And, you know, it's interesting that people watch that and, yeah, good. I'll try that one. Hainan chicken was another one. Very, very easy, very delicious. So I don't know.
We're progressing.
We are progressing.
One day we can think that we'll look back on this time and be like, oh, those poor people couldn't even get pumpkin leaves. I look forward to that day.
Yeah.
We're kind of out of time. We've in fact gone a little bit over time, but it's been so fascinating talking to you.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Mom. Joy.
Thank you so much for coming in. And podcast listeners, you can get Mevo Mare's Earth, Fire, Water, Food Safari book, along with all of her other books, at Booktopia.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.